We can look to the Lord and be blessed and be grateful, be excited, thankful. We can rejoice in the Lord. Let's say it together. Rejoice in the Lord. Now look at chapter 4, verse 5. Paul said, "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." Now that word gentleness literally means gentle or gracious spirit. It's the idea of being patient with other people. You know, like when you're in the checkout line and you're standing there and it just seems like forever because the person in front of you doesn't have the barcode and they have to call, they have to turn the blinking light on and they have to call someone who has to come down. In the meantime, you're standing there and you're going to be patient, right? Or you probably are like me and just want to get in another line. But you know what I found out when you do that, when you get in the other line? The light goes on there and the barcode, and it's just so, you know, that's one of the things. Here's another one. Traffic light. Sitting at a traffic light. The light turns green. The person in front of you beep, beep. Guilty. Guilty as charged. Not very gracious at times, but yet that's what Paul says. We have to be gracious in what we do. In fact, that's what people look at. When you say you're a Christian, that's one of the things they look at. They want to know, do you act to what you say? Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Are you demonstrating a Christ-like spirit? Because if we focus on ourselves, when people hurt us, when people slight us, when people cross us, if we're living for ourselves, we have a desire to retaliate, don't we? Yeah. Okay, they got it this time, but I'll get them back. There will come a time. It'll be my turn. And yet Paul wants us to focus off of ourselves and start looking at other people, those around us. Because honestly, if you look at other people, and if you focus on them, you'll be less likely to be hurt by what other people do and what other people say. Now, I'm not talking about being a doormat here. I'm not saying that you should let people run over you. Because when we adopt the me first attitude, we always look at things that people say and do as personal attacks on us. And that's not right. It'll cause us to wear our feelings on our sleeves. You know anybody like that? Yeah, I think we all know somebody like that. Just, they fly off the handle real quick. It's one of those traits that we really have to understand that we've got to get a hold of. We've got to get a hold of it. And if it makes us hurt easier. Actions just tear us apart. We've got to learn to accept other people. Roll with the punches. Because if we protect our mind from dwelling in negatives, always thinking negatives, let me ask you this. Are you a negative person or are you a positive person? The old test, is the glass half full or is it half empty? Well, if it's half empty, you're a negative person. If it's half full, you're a positive person. Or at least that's what psychologists say. You see, the devil loves nothing better than to get our eyes off the Lord Jesus and get to looking around at other people and criticizing and complaining and moaning and groaning. Let me ask you, we got any worry warts here today? Don't raise your hand. Do we? I think we probably all do. At times, we worry. Did you ever stop to think how dangerous worry is? It's been, did a little research on it. There are over 100 diseases that have been directly attributed to worry. Not just physical, not just mental, physical things. And I know, we know all this, that worry does things to us. It doesn't change the fact that we worry. It really doesn't. One elderly lady said, "I feel bad when I feel good because I know that I'm going to feel bad after a while." Wow. That's a horrible outlook, folks. It really is. And yet there's so many people that are right there. That's where they are. I know, this is good times, but Bad times are coming. You know. When we worry, what we do is we cease to trust the Lord. We really do. And when you really get down to it, the calendar says there's 7 days in a week, but there's really only 3 days in a week. 3 days. And two of them should never cross our minds in worry. Yesterday. Because you can never change anything that happened yesterday, right? That's what Paul said in chapter 2. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things that are before. And the other's tomorrow. No one holds the power to affect tomorrow. Quite frankly, tomorrow never comes. Because when it gets here, it's today. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for today is its own trouble." In other words, take care of today. Take care of today. Today is the only day we have, and with God's help, we can face anything that comes. Philippians 4:13, we'll get to in a couple of weeks, or maybe even next week. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." We can do all things through Christ. You know, someone has well said, worry's like a rocking chair. Keeps you busy, but it doesn't get you anywhere. And that's very true. A lot of work, nothing to show for it. Worry slowly destroys your physical life, and it will destroy your spiritual life. So how are we to handle our cares, our worries, our anxieties? Well, these verses give us the answer. Verse 6 begins, "Be anxious for nothing." Be anxious for nothing. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it ever say that we are to downplay our existing problems. We all have problems in differing degrees. Every one of us has them. Nowhere do we have any idea that problems don't exist. We're going to have them as long as we live. Job 14:1 said, "Man who's born of woman is few of days and full of trouble." Ain't that the truth? In fact, in John 16:33, the Lord said, "In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." Wow. Of course, I didn't need to tell you that, did I? We all know we have problems. They're real, the trials. They're all real. And we battle them every day of our life. And when it comes to worrying over the problems we face, God has one word, and it's all the way through the Scripture. And that one word is, don't. Don't worry. That's what "be anxious for nothing" means. It means do not worry about anything. Don't. Now, I have a card for you. I want to pass these out. This is going to be something if you just kind of pass them along. Here you go, Dawn. You guys. This is something you can stick in your wallet. Stick in your Bible, put it up on your refrigerator, whatever you want to do with it. Because it really says what we need to know about worry. It starts at the top left hand. It says, do you have a problem in your life? If you have no problems in your life, what does it say? Mm-hmm. Don't worry. But if you have problems in your life, yes, coming straight down, can you do something about it? No, you can't do anything about it. What's your solution? Don't worry about it. If you can do something about it, what's the solution? Don't worry about it. In other words, if you can do something, do it. Don't worry over it. If you can't do anything about it, why worry? It'll just eat you alive. Remember, according to Matthew chapter 6, worry is needless. It is senseless, it is useless, and it is faithless. And I'm going to give you a little bit more on that later in this message. So what is worry? What is it? Well, the word itself means to be torn in two. Torn in two. And that's exactly what anxiety does. It tears us apart. It really does. We might be obediently going and doing something, but our minds are totally someplace else. You ever been in that situation? I have. The result is you live with tension. You can't sleep. You can't enjoy the present moment. I heard a statistic this morning. 70 million Americans have problems with their sleep. 70 million Americans have problems with their sleep. Worry causes us to work against ourselves, and it really does hinder our fellowship with the Lord. It really does. Someone said, worry pulls tomorrow's clouds over today's sunshine. Worry displays a lack of faith in the reality that God has the ability to meet our needs. Does he really? If he does, then why do we worry about it? Let me give you some reasons why we shouldn't worry. All right, here's number one. God knows what you've faced, what you are facing, and what you will face. God knows what you have faced, what you are facing, and what you will face. Job 23, verse 10 says, but God knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Don't ever think that God doesn't understand what's going on in your life. He does. Secondly, God cares about what you face in your life. He cares about what you face in your life. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, and yet without sin. God knows us. And he's also, the next one is, God has promised to take care of us. He has promised to take care of us. Hebrews chapter 13 says, don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Is our confidence in the Lord. Well, if we can't worry, and the Bible says we're not supposed to, so if we can't worry, then what can we do? What can we do? Well, look at the rest of verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. See, instead of worrying, God says pray about it. Pray about it. Now, when Paul talks about praying, he uses three words in that verse. He uses prayer, he uses supplication, and he uses requests. So let's look at them briefly here. Prayer, that's the general word for just coming into the presence of God. It's the idea of not acknowledging who God is, of leaving the cares of your world behind and getting alone with your Heavenly Father. When trouble comes in my life and I hope in your life, one of the greatest sources of strength is to know you can go to the Lord and escape this world and get into his world. We can step into the realm where there are no troubles, no sorrows, no worries. They can never get there. Remember what Jesus said when he taught us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Coming into the presence of the almighty, majestic God, who, oh, by the way, who is our Father, which is even greater. The second word is supplication. And that word really refers to earnest sharing of our burdens and our needs and our problems. It gets down to prayers that come from deep down in your heart. You see, the Lord wants us to pray, but he wants us to pray with passion about the things that move our heart. James 5:16 says, the earnest prayer of righteous people has great power and produces wonderful results. The third word is requests. And this is the idea of detailed prayers about specific issues. Many times, we pray around issues, but we never really get to the heart. We need to pray detailed, specific prayers. We should never be afraid to approach God with the specific needs of our life. Now, I know some, in fact, Hebrews 4:16 says, so let us come boldly to the throne of grace. There we will receive mercy, and we will find grace to help when the time of trouble comes. So, We as children of God have an avenue that this world doesn't have. And we need to really take hold of it. Bring the big things to God. Bring the little things to God. Nothing's too big for God. You know? In fact, is there anything big as far as God is concerned? No. And nothing's too small for him either. We need to learn to pray about everything all the time. In fact, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, "Ask and keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone who continues to ask receives, who continues to seek finds, and to him who continues to knock, it will be opened." Sometimes when we pray, we give out our prayers, we talk to the Lord, and then we let it go and we don't ever think about it anymore. He wants earnest prayers, prayers from the heart. Things that really matter to us matter to God. And we need to learn to pray all the time. When we approach God with our worries and our fears and our burdens, there's one other thing. We need to approach him with a thankful heart. Thankful heart. You know why? Because we have a God who cares about us. We have a God who hears us, who loves us, and who has promised to answer our prayers when we call on him. So no matter how bad life gets, we know what Romans 8:28 says, right? God's working it out. We may not like the way he's working it out, but he's working it out. He's working it out for our good and for his glory. You know what? If the Lord never did another single thing for me in my life, I'd have the rest of eternity to be thankful for what he's done. He has just blessed my life. He has blessed our family life. He has blessed everything about our life. And if you really sit back and look, he's blessed your life too. Psalm 100 is one of the great psalms. And it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It's he that has made us, and not we ourselves." Then it says, "We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting." That's our Father, folks. God wants us to know that there are some precious promises that can be ours. If we can come to that place where we refuse to allow worry to be our master, we learn to bring our needs to the Lord. The Father is always looking out for our prosperity. He's always looking out for our contentment, and he's always looking out for our peace. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Paul said, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, when we confessed our sins and we asked the Lord to forgive us of our sins and we asked the Lord Jesus to come into our life and make a difference, recognize him as the Lord of our lives, he saves us. But that's not the best news. The best news is we are justified. And that means just as if we had never sin. God takes his holy eraser and erases every one of those things that happened in your life when you come to trust him as your Savior. I like the song. Rochelle didn't know I was going to sing. "Gone, gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. They're buried in the deepest sea, and I'm off key. But that's good enough for me." And then at the end says, "I shall reign eternally. Praise God, my sins are G-O-N-E. What's that spell? Gone. My sins are gone. That's peace with God, folks. But you can also have the peace of God. Verse 7 in Philippians 4 says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." So you have the God of peace to guide you, and you have the peace of God to guard you. Now, what is peace? We hear a lot of talk about peace, don't we? Well, the best definition I've ever heard of it is peace is the tranquility of the soul. It is the tranquility of the soul. It's the kind of peace that says it passes understanding. In other words, it's a mind-blowing experience. It really is. I don't know how to explain to you what the peace of God is. I know what it is because I have the peace of God in my heart and in my life. And if you're a Christian, you ought to have the peace of God that passes all understanding. It's the kind of peace that can't be disturbed by problems and by disturbances and by the difficulties in your life. It's a peace that cannot waver. It can't be shaken. It can't be destroyed. Job had that kind of peace. You remember the story of Job. He was one of the wealthiest men in the world, and the devil came before the Lord and said, oh yeah, that's because you got your hand on him. You take your hand off of him and you see if he won't curse you. Well, you know the story. God allowed it to happen in his life. And listen to what Job said. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Wow. That's a peace that passes all understanding, right? Daniel had that kind of peace. He wouldn't bow down to the king and everything. So he says, all right, I'm going to put you in the lion's den. Daniel said, all right, go ahead. Put him in there. Next morning came. What was he doing? Sleeping on one of the lions. That's peace that passes all understanding. How about the three Hebrew boys? Meshach, Meshach, and Abednego. No. Meshach, Meshach, and a bungalow. No. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I knew I'd get it right one of those times. Remember, they were going to be thrown. In fact, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. But before they did, one of them said to the king, the God whom we serve is able to save us from the fiery furnace, and we know that he will save us. But if it's God's will that we should die, even then you may understand, O king, that we will not serve your gods nor worship the golden image. That's peace that passes all understanding. Paul says God's peace will guard our hearts and our minds. Now, when he talks about the heart, he's talking about our emotions. He will guard your emotions. See, the heart's the place where our feelings come from. When Paul mentions the mind, he's talking about where we do our thinking. You see, wrong worry is wrong feeling and wrong thinking. And it happens that way both times. When we see our burdens and our problems and our fears through our own eyes, not through the Lord's eyes, we'll always develop wrong feelings and wrong thoughts about the things we face in our lives. Now remember, when Paul wrote these words, he had a Roman guard on either side of him all the time, 24 hours a day. They were standing guard over the man of God. And that's what Paul says. That's what God's peace is about. It's like they're standing guard that protects our heart from wrong feelings and protects our mind from wrong thoughts. Man, I need that kind of stuff. Don't you? Is this thing on? Do you guys need that kind of thing? We really do need it. Don't you wish you could worry, say, from like 8 o'clock at night to 8:30 at night? And then you just turn it off, and you get a good night's sleep, and you go on. You know, just have that half an hour where you worry, and that's the way it is. But that's not the way it is. We can't do that. We think we don't have any control over the worry thoughts that come into our minds. What's that old saying? A bird can land on your head, but you at least can stop him from making a nest there, right? Get him out of there. Now remember I said we would deal with what Jesus thought about worry. He said it was needless, it was senseless, it was useless, and it was faithless. So you got your Bibles or whatever you use and turn to Matthew chapter 6. This is right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6. And maybe some of you are saying, Pastor, you told us this before. Well, again, remember what Peter said. I always remind you about these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth that you've been taught. And as long as I'm around here, I'm going to keep reminding you of it. So let's get back. Number one, worry is needless. Verse 25 of Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said, for this reason I say unto you, don't be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink nor for your body, as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Folks, there's more to life than material things. It's needless to worry. Number two, worry is senseless. It's senseless. Look at verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? God takes care of his children. He always has. He always will. Here's the third one. Worry is useless. It's useless. Verse 27, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Can you worry yourself taller? No, you can't. I've tried. I really have. I mean, I am taller now because, you know, I got up on the stage. Huh? Yes. See, well, you know, you can try all you want. I mean, you can, external things, you can put high heels on, you know, you do your bouffant hair so you look like you're about 7 feet tall, you know, those kinds of things. But it's senseless to worry, and it's useless to worry. And number four, worry's faithless. It's faithless. Verse 30, Jesus said, wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye a little faith? God takes care of us, folks. And the interesting thing is, God's answer for worry is found in verses 31 to 33. Jesus said, do not worry then, saying, what we will eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. Now listen. For your heavenly Father knows what you need when you need it. But continually seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you. You see, when you put the Lord first, he provides for us. Because folks, we're his kids. We are his kids. Psalm 37:25 says, David said, I have been young, and now I'm old, and I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God takes care of his kids. Psalm 84, verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Listen to this next phrase. And no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Man, if you don't want to sign, you ought to put that, that's Psalm 84, 11. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. But you know what? The kingdom of God is not only experienced inwardly, it's experienced outwardly. And we'll never make a difference in this world until people see a difference in us. That's the only way we're going to do it. So if we're seeking his kingdom and his righteousness, Jesus said, all these things I'll give you. I'll take care of it for you. Now let me say a few things about things. Number one, you don't need everything you want. Right? Went to Costco not too long ago. Going down the rows. First thing you come to is the TV sets. You know, I've finally gotten over the TV sets. Well, almost all the TV sets. Anyway. But I saw these Callaway golf clubs. Oh, joy! Callaway golf clubs. So I don't need everything I want. And I didn't get it. Number two, you don't want everything you need. You don't want everything you need. I think I've told you this before. When I was young, and I mean young like five, six, seven young, I used to get a whipping every Friday. Every Friday. Whether I needed it or not, and I always needed it, but I mean, you know, I always, I got some things I didn't really need. Number three, God doesn't give you everything you want. Right? And we all have a list of the things we want. But he doesn't always do it that way. He gives us what we need. He gives us what we need. That's what Philippians 4:19 says. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I think the Lord's teaching in us that our job is to worship and serve him, and his job is to supply our needs. So if we're worshiping the Lord the way we ought to, He's taking care of us. Let me ask you a question. Do you want the rest of your life to be the best of your life? I do. Living as a Christian primarily is a matter of getting your priorities in line. When you're getting ready to make a decision, which comes first? Material things or the spiritual things? The temporary things or the eternal things? God's given His children all that they need for this life. And oh yeah, by the way, life eternal. In heaven, with Him, face to face. Wow, that's fantastic. And I hope that we can evaluate our lives and look at ourselves and ask this question. What's the most important thing in my life? What is it? Is it the cares of this life? Or is it the comfort and the protection of the Lord? Are you stressed or are you blessed? I hope we do as the Scripture commands. Be reasonable about everything. Don't worry about anything. Pray about all things. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Your Word. We thank You for the things that You do in our lives. Lord, may we understand that You love us so much, that You want the very best for each one of us. And Lord, I pray that as we come to You, as we seek Your face, as we pray, and all that we do, we would give You the honor and the glory. Lord, if there's a need in our lives today, I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, speak individually to those who need Your touch. For maybe there's someone here that does not know You as Lord and Savior. Maybe today would be that day. For all the things that occur in our lives, I pray that we give them to You. And watch You do the great and mighty and wonderful things that You do because You love us, because we're Your children. Thank You, Father. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing these verses. And if the Lord speaks to your heart, do what the Lord wants you to do. Been there 10,000
light shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Amen. Amen. Father, we're grateful and thankful for the time that we've come together. Lord, I pray that as we go our separate ways, that you would guide us, that you would keep us safe. Lord, that we'd come back with an excitement, a fervency of knowing the Lord. We pray in Jesus' name.